and welcome to the Magic Apothecaries podcast. It is Midsummer's Eve on 6/20/2019, and we are getting ready here to celebrate the middle of summer. And that sounds strange to a lot of people, I'm sure, who are not really adept at understanding the Wiccan / Celtic / pagan calendar of the Northern European peoples. So let's talk about that a little bit. Talk about history a little bit. Talk about some ideas for the holiday. I'd be going to be interviewing more people coming up. I just finished doing 3 interviews, but I'm going to be doing more. So look for those as we go along. Sign up and ask for notifications, both on Podbean and on Spotify. You can also find me on Facebook in the Magic Apothecary group. There, where there's lots of information and ways to reach out to me and ask questions if you need to. You can also write me. People have done, and I'm more than happy and I welcome you to do so. At my email address is themagical, themagical, apothecary, apothecary, at gmail.com. All right, so listening to a little Celtic midsummer music in the background. I'll turn it down so we can talk. So here we are, Midsummer's Eve. Now, there's a lot of thought around this night and tomorrow and through the weekend about fairies and fairy folk. So I'll talk about that a little tiny bit. I'll talk about what the fantasy is as far as little fairies like Tinkerbell from Disney and what real fairies are. Or what the Irish believe real fairies are, and some great ideas about how to work with that magic and that energy. Plus, I'm going to talk about Midsummer Night's Dream and Shakespeare a little bit, and his idea of fairies and where all that folklore comes from and why it's there, and also just what to do with yourself on Midsummer and what does it represent. So I'm going to click around to make sure I have everything in order here for you guys. I don't want to ever forget anything I have to say. So Midsummer Eve. So Midsummer is one of the many holidays within the calendar of paganism. So Midsummer is on June 21st and 20th, 21st, 22nd, in and around there. And if you want precise times, it's very available on the internet to look up the precise time of Midsummer, exactly when the earth is at its place of solstice. So summer solstice is what this is. The winter solstice is in December, and December 21st, and that's Yule on the calendar. And this is the summer solstice, which just means that this is the longest day of the year. That's what that exactly means, the longest day of the year. And there's more sunlight than any other time of the year on this particular day. And the really interesting thing that when I first went into paganism and started to study, I was told, obviously, midsummer is the beginning of the dark time. What? See, in North America, the Northern Hemisphere, at this moment, we see this as the longest day of the year with the most heat, with the most growing potential. And in the Southern Hemisphere, it's of course the winter solstice. So they're getting ready to celebrate a release from the darkness, right? But we are in the middle of the heat season and growing season. If you look around, everything is green and lush and full of power. Not everything is ready to be harvested yet, so things are still growing. There's things that are out there now. I see strawberries growing, and that we can see all sorts of flowers. Roses are in deep bloom in June, so there's that. And also trees are in bloom, and all sorts of other flowers that are perennial or annual, are blooming. And we're starting to get in some fruit and vegetables. We're starting to get like bulbs already, like garlics and some onions. And we're starting to get artichokes, and zucchinis are coming to market. Actually, watermelon, which is the weirdest thing, is in season. But it's not weird because we all eat watermelon all summer, right? That's why we do, because it's coming in. It's coming in now. So that's what's going on in nature. Also, birds that have had little baby eggs crack open are now having little babies that are flying around. And maybe have little yellow beaks, but my mom and dad are close by, but baby birds are out, and kittens have been born, and wild animals of all sorts, raccoons and possums and bears, and everyone's given birth We're starting to give birth, or has given birth, will give birth soon. So this is the time of the year where people traditionally would celebrate all of that good stuff happening. We have food. We, you know, our ancestors got through the winter on roots and things they could store and keep cold, and or smoke, or meats they could cook and smoke, but or smoke and keep fresh. Now we have, of course, refrigerators, and we're luckier and we are blessed, and we have stuff all year round, but our ancestors did not. So this was a time of great abundance, and the sun was in great abundance, and the warmth was in great abundance. And what it means to Wiccans and or slash pagans and or slash witches, if you're following this path at all in any way, then you're saying, well, what's going on? Well, I say, most people who study this and talk about this, it's a time of abundance of male energy. The male energy, the green man. Who is the green man? Well, the green man is an ancient idea of manhood. The Jack in the Green, he's another name for him. Also, Jack in the Beanstalk, that's the green man, grows a big vine. That's what they do. The green man grows green things. He is everywhere in the green. That's why they called him Jack in the Green. Peter Pan is a form of the green man. The boy who never grows up, the green man, the wild forest man. Also, Robin Hood is the green man. So there's a lot of information about that. In Sweden, there's a big celebration on Midsummer Eve, because in Sweden, which is further north than most of the people that are listening to this podcast may be, or, you know, upper regions of Europe where they are, it's dark a lot. And this day is so bright that there's no rest from the light. So they celebrate it and have a wonderful time doing so. If you're interested in Swedish magic and myths regarding Midsummer, go ahead and look that up. I know that in New York City, there's a big Swedish festival on Midsummer, which I think is now, this is the 20th I'm recording, I think it'd be on the 21st in Manhattan, and it's a big dance festival and food and beer and wine and singing, and so it's a lovely time if you'd be interested in that in New York City. So if you're not in New York City, I am sure that there are plenty of places where you are, that there is somebody doing something to celebrate this day, even if it's just celebrating the solstice itself, just celebrating summer, the first day of summer, or so we think. We think it's midsummer in Wiccan or Celtic or old pagan tradition, because it really is the middle of the summer. We've experienced light for quite a time from Yule on, which was at the winter solstice, and this light has been growing and growing and growing until this day. Now, as of the end of the day in midsummer, you will start to see, if you look at your sunrises and sunsets, you will start to see the sun coming up later and going down earlier, and the days will get shorter. So there we go. This is a big day for a lot of people who are farmers or people who are out there, you know, growing food for us. There's a lot of work for people in the summer, and midsummer gave us a big respite, or our ancestors and our current farmers and agricultural workers get a rest, get a little rest if they can celebrate this day. So there's a lot of information on the internet about fairies and what fairies are, and you can see all kinds of little pictures of little fairies and ideas of little girls wearing little headdresses being fairies. Okay, sure, yeah, fairies can be, I guess, small, but they don't look like Tinkerbell. And the truth about fairies is they're not, in Irish tradition and even Northern in Scotland tradition and English tradition, they are not very nice. They are another race of being that lived with our ancestors and perhaps still live with us today, if I've not seen any, but perhaps some of you have. And they come in the night and like to take people to a little fairy place and kind of keep them prisoner. They supposedly used to steal babies, but I don't think that was ever true. I think a lot of people left their babies to the fairies. There's a lot of writing about that on the internet and in books that I've read about fairies, that people had actually left sick or unwanted children in the woods and said that the fairies took them. So that if they were found dead, they would blame the fairies for that behavior. So that's a horrible dark part of things, but the other part of it is if you ask a fairy for a favor, they have to give it to you. They have to, if you can catch a fairy and ask a fairy to please give you something, they will do that. So a lot of, supposedly, so a lot of information that comes up around Midsummer is about that idea, doing magic. Okay, so there's places in Russia too that they call it Kupala Night. And these girls, these young maidens, representing the maiden part of the maiden mother and crone idea and this paganism, will come to go to rivers or lakes and lay down beautiful wreaths of flowers and candles and push them out into the water and ask for favors and ask for dreams to come true. So that's another part of communing with fairies. Also, a lot of people, and still do, would light a big bonfire. So it would wait, of course, until the sun went down, which would be very late. Of course, the sun is setting now, almost 9:00 p.m. So it was a way for the people, and still is, to purify their environment from evil spirits and disease. And also people would dance around it and sing to the sun and ask the sun to remain strong, represent the fire representing him, representing the sun or the solar fire, keeping that going so that many things could just keep growing and that there would be no famine and that there would be no disease upon anything that was growing, including the livestock. So that was another thing that people did do. Also, Midsummer Eve is known as the herb evening. It's the most potent night of the year for gathering herbs, which it is, especially St. John's wort. I don't know if anybody listening knows this, but I am an herbal witch, I'm an herbalist. I do medicine and magic, both with herbs. And I have, hopefully can again this weekend, I think I will be able to. I'm gonna be in the parks and I'll be out in New York City looking for St. John's wort. St. John's wort, if you want to gather that on Midsummer, it's at its most potent. St. John's wort is used to ward off, some people believe, depression. What it does is lighten the spirit. It can be used for magic if you are dark and depressed, or if there's been a dark time, or if you have a darkness within you, you can take St. John's wort, or use St. John's wort as a topical oil that you can use on your body or in magic. You can use that on your candles, or you can use that in any kind of magic you want. When I use, you know, on fire magic, it's really potent, especially on Midsummer. You could probably find some St. John's wort oil, excuse me, in a local herbal store, or you can purchase that online. And it's red, which is very interesting. If you take St. John's in and mash it like you do to make medications or oils or ointments, it turns red once you touch it. It's yellow as it grows. It's very interesting. And very powerful to notice the different kinds of firepower that herb has. So that's something to think about gathering if you are into gathering wild things and out in the woods, excuse me, but only, and now we don't, and want to be involved in that kind of work. If you are, I can perhaps help you find some place to A, buy things online, or find someone else to study with or study with me online and learn much more about herbalism. I can do a course with you if you like, a small witchcraft course in herbs, which I offer all the time, and that's done by private lesson one-on-one with me, both online and sometimes in person if you're nearby. All right, so this is a great day for also talking about the myths that have to go with the god and goddess. So the god myth, besides the green man, is a very interesting one. I'm gonna get the, I have these great pictures. I'm gonna put them up for you or guys on Podbean so you can see them. I'm just making sure I have them up so I can look at them and talk to you all about them because I love that. So not only is it a big night in the northern part of Europe, but it's a big night for the entirety of the Northern Hemisphere. This, as I mentioned, Sweden, but also Native Americans had used this night for a blessing ritual and also for lighting fire and also for cleansing. Let's not forget all of the information that's really kind of chock full in Shakespeare's Midsummer Night Dream. If you ever have a chance, you can watch that. There's a couple of great versions of it and available now on the internet with great acting and fun The story is wonderful. You have two couples that sort of split up and get lost, and there's confusion and fairies and fights between the fairy king and queen, and all kinds of wonder and magic in that show. So if you get a chance, or that play or that movie, you get a chance to look at that, that will help further your information, at least as far as what old folklore of this night was about. So let's talk about what might be used to, on the day, what you might want to eat, what you might want to do, what you might want to reenact. Okay, so let's talk about an altar. I always like to say, okay, yeah, you, many people have a standing altar, and many people write to me and say, okay, I can't keep an altar in my house because my parents or my lover or my whatever significant other is really religious and Christian or Jewish or whatever, and they can't have it in the house. So there's lots of ways to keep an altar for yourself, separated from your family. And I can tell you about that. If you're curious about that, write me a note and I'll give you some information on how to do that. I have that written out for you guys. Also, if you have an altar, you have a standing altar. Many people have a standing altar. I have a standing altar that stays in my home at all times. And on that, I do my magical work, and I have my devotional areas for my gods and goddesses that I work with. And so you can do that too. I always have all four elements going. I always have lots of fire going. I have lots of incense going and lots of energy going. So you can keep that going and add to it for the solstice. Some people like to bring in flowers. This is a wonderful night, day to bring in roses and other blooming flowers that are outside. Put those on your altar. You might want to take a look and see if you can find a representation of the Horned God or the Green Man and put that on your altar. And also the goddess of spring and light, or the goddess of summer, or the mother version of the goddess, because by this point she is pregnant and giving birth, like all the animals are outside. So she's also doing the same and ready to go and give birth. So the mother, or the given birth mother who's nursing her children, or the goddess that maybe represents a pregnant goddess or fertility goddess. Those are wonderful symbols of the feminine divine at this time of the year. So also, you might want to say, okay, I'm going to make my altar cloth green today. I'm going to make everything a green today. If you feel comfortable with that, you can do that. And you can start to use bring in green candles, green and gold, green for the growing, gold for the god. You can wear those colors as well. And you can do your ritual with fairy symbology. If something that you enjoy, you can bring in ivy, which is a growing vine that represents the god at this time. So the ivy represents this sort of moving energy of the god form that's growing and growing and growing. And there's a whole myth, I'm trying to get the exact wording here, so I don't want to make a mistake. There's a Celtic-based tradition of the oak and holly king. These are like supposed to be two mighty rulers that fight for supremacy as the wheel of the year turns, right? At the winter solstice or Yule, the oak king, right, conquers the holly king and then reigns until midsummer, which is coming up. The holly king returns to do battle with the old king and defeats him. And the legends of some belief systems, the dates of these events are shifted around, but the battle always takes place pretty much at the solstices or equinoxes. So right now, the ivy in English tradition or folklore represents the oak king. He's the strongest at midsummer. Oh, we're having a thunderstorm in New York while I'm talking to you. Great. I love that. That's great energy. I hope that it comes through and you guys pick it up. So yeah, this has been really a bad rainy late spring in New York City. And now we've been having all these storms. But tomorrow, and I'm going to be out in the wooded areas of New York, tomorrow's going to be sunny and hot and full of solar energy. So cool for me and hopefully everybody else in the tri-state area, New York City and in America. And hopefully it's nice where you are too. I hope you have a wonderful warm day tomorrow, full of light and brightness. And if you don't, it doesn't matter, because this is a season. I want to say this. This is important. A lot of people panic and worry. Oh my God, indeed. I can't be at a ritual, or it's raining, or I can't get there. Oh my gosh, what do I do? It's Tuesday and I have to be at work and I have the next day. So it doesn't matter, because these are seasons. Our ancestors didn't just celebrate a day. they would say, okay, we are in Ireland, they call it Litha, in Wales, Ireland, England, Litha, or midsummer season, solstice season. So from this point until the next holiday, which is August 1st, Lugnasa, you would just celebrate midsummer. You would be happy to harvest what was coming in. You would be grateful for the sun shining upon you. And you can do that now. Every day can be part of Litha and part of the celebration until August 1st. This is this time of the year where this is at its height. The day happens to fall when the earth itself is in a specific position so that the night and day are, the day is longer than the night. But it doesn't mean within, you know, a month or two that it will be so different for you anywhere you are in the Northern Hemisphere. So that's the Oak King and the Holly King. And you can look that up and read all about that. There's plenty, plenty of information on the internet about all of this kind of things. And there's lots of books about the Green Man. I've seen books specifically about these folklores. And there's one place online I will pass on to everyone. It's called Sacred Texts. Think.com, could be .org. I'll look at it while I'm talking to you. Sacred Texts. Here it is. .com, sacredtext.com. And on sacredtext.com, if you're interested in any neo-paganism or any witchcraft information that's been in writing, I mean, it is here. We have this information on tarot, thelema. I'm looking at information on Wicca, on witchcraft. There's also Hinduism, Jainism, all these kind of information, English myths, classic books of shadows for those who are interested in Wiccan, really traditional British witchcraft, and Gerald Gardner's work is there. Also, you know, just stuff about grimoires, legends, sagas, shamanism. I can go on. This place is full of information and it is all free. So if you're interested in looking around and just trying to get some understanding, basic understanding of these ideas, or much more in-depth understanding of these ideas, you can go onto that site and look around. Also, there's a lot of information on and books available on this website called Scribd, S-C-R-I-B-D.com. And I think for like $9 a month, you can subscribe and you can download different books. And I know for sure that there are pagan books on there and good ones as well. If you join my apothecary group on Facebook, I put up information all of the time about some of the best books that are out there. There are lots of people who read every single book and they review them. And so I pass that on to my readers on that place as well. So anyway, why say all this? Well, because information and education is very important, because a lot of these ideas have been kept secret from a lot of us for centuries, really. People were hung and burned for witchcraft all through Europe. And a lot of this was really stamped out and buried under Christianity and buried under the other two Abrahamic religions as well in other parts of the world. Judaism and Muslim or Islam are very anti-witchcraft as well, and it's very ingrained in the religious ideas and texts that people study from a very young age. So to find stuff that's out there, when I first started in the 1990s, it was nothing. There was like nothing. I had to really search things up. But by the late 90s into the 2000s, and especially in New York, there was lots of stuff in places like Barnes & Noble. You know, now, gratefully, you can find things on Amazon. You can find used books if you need that on different sites. Amazon has a used area. Plus, there's one bookstore called Abe Books, and that's all used books. And you can get books from them as well on these subjects. So I recommend it. If you're really interested in English and Celtic in general, or Welsh or Scottish, Irish folklore, then this is a great holiday to start that work. This is a great holiday to pick up information about this holiday and what it means and how you can use it. So let's go back onto the altar and the celebration. You might wanna make a food. Many, many people do. You can bake bread. A lot of people bring out fresh new beers or wines. People have been making, put up mead earlier in the year and beer earlier in the year, and they bring it out to drink and celebrate with. People make all sorts of cakes. all sorts of things with lemon, all sorts of things with oranges in them, so that there's a solar aspect to what you're doing. I had a coven that I worked with for many years, and the high priestess would always make on this holiday an orange lavender cake. She used actual lavender flowers in it, and we would love it. It was delicious, actually, and we would eat that in celebration as part of our ritual representing the cakes and ale. So that's the thing you can do. There are recipes in different books. I have Scott Cunningham's Kitchen Witch, and you can look in that book and find lots of recipes, or you can just browse around. And if you need one and you can't find one, or you're confused as to where to find it, again, write to me and I'll tell you where it is. I'll find it for you, I promise. I'm good at research. I'm really, really good at research. So if I can't find something, I will send it out to whoever else I know who might know more than me, which are many people, obviously. And in the world, there's always somebody who knows more than you, always. Thankfully for that. I love to learn. I hope you do too. I hope that's why you're listening to this podcast, that it's not just witches flying around on brooms being quite sexy in their garter belts and their black lipstick, which is all cool. I love looking like a witch, and I don't do that on a regular basis, by the way. One of the things I learned early on, here's my political point of view again. One of the things I learned early on as I was becoming more and more pagan was that I represent my people in the real world, outside of my ritual space, outside of my grove or group or working group or coven. And what I represent is what people will start to believe is witchcraft, what will start to believe is a witch, will start to believe is a person who studies or works with Wicca or the old gods. So I thought, well, if I'm a representative of that, if I walk around looking witchy all the time, that's not going to work out real well for me or for the other people who are walking on this path. So I try to look like a comfortable version of who I am and go about my business. And I have tattoos that are very pagan, and I leave them out there, and I try to be polite and kind and good to people in general, and work on my karmic debt all the time, and just generally be just a person amongst people. Yes, I'm different. I'm an artist. I am a pagan. I come off very differently than most very conservative people. But on the other hand, I represent myself as a person within society who's not so fringy. If I do that, and I learned this from my teachers, oh, by the way, were way more fringy than I was, but I learned that if I can say, hey, I'm a witch, and people go, you? I can say yes, and then they feel comfortable asking me questions. And if they ask me questions, I can answer them. And if I can answer them, I can break down some of this fear. And if I can break down some of this fear, we can all be much more free to practice this religion. And that's how I see it. Whether or not you see it that way, that's fine. But that's why I sometimes rail against the witch aesthetic, because it's not just about the clothes you're wearing, although that is great fun. And believe me, when I have a chance to wear my long skirts and my boots and my, you know, shawls and cloaks and tons of jewelry, and wear incensed perfumes and black lipstick myself, I do it because I love it. I love the outer workings of what this religion can and is for all of us, the creativity that goes along with it. Being a gothic looking person and enjoying the feeling of being a wild one, of being free. I love it too. Do I do it all the time? No. Can I do it all the time? Absolutely not. I raised a child as a witch, and my child had to go to elementary school and high school. And, you know, my child now is grown and still working in the real world. And the last thing he needs is some wacky mom who embarrasses him, one, and two, who looks like she's not in control of her life, you know, is not part of the normal world. I believe strongly that if we are to be part of the world as witches and Wiccans and pagans, we have to sort of fit in to an extent. Now, I'm not saying all the way. And if you have a job or a place to be and no kids maybe, or choose not to have them, and you want to dress like you do, go ahead. But let your behavior show everyone what we really are and how we think. That's my political moment of speech that I put into every podcast, because it's very important to me that we start to think like we are not just a Halloween costume. I'm also a singer, and I wanted to add this. I sing, I do cabaret and nightclub work in New York City. And in my last show, I added a little element of witchcraft. I was telling the story of my life through my diaries, actually, is what I'm doing. And there's so many different chapters that I've been talking through. And this last one, I sang about finding the goddess. And nobody said a word, actually. People were a little scared, but they were kind of like really moved by the song. This is a song by Wendy Rule, who's a wonderful pagan artist. If you get to hear her, Wendy Rule, R-U-L-E. She's from Australia. And there's a song, the song I sang was Deity. And it was beautiful. It's a beautiful song. So this time I'm doing another show. And I was going to call it The Lady in the Pointy Hat, because this is a time in my, I've gone through my diaries, and now I'm to a place where I've actually, in the 90s, found paganism and witchcraft, and I claimed myself to be a witch. And so I was going to make a whole show about that, and I have started the work on it. So I started to do advertisements, to make a long story short, with myself in my pointy hat. And I had people writing to me on Facebook saying, hey, you know, I can't wait to come to your show and wear costumes. I can't wait to put my witchcraft costume on. I can't wait to put my witchy poo costume on. I can't wait to put my Harry Potter costume on and come to your show. I was like, what? You're not supposed to come to my show in a costume. You're supposed to come to my show and have a drink and enjoy my show and let me perform. And in the process, I hope to teach people about, you know, what this really is. That's the point of my show, is what I'm just talking about now. So I'm going to change the name of my show, because I can't call it The Lady in the Pointy Hat anymore, because I don't need a bunch of lunatics showing up and, you know, stuff from The Wizard of Oz. So what I'm going to do is just call it Between the Moon and the Sun, which is much more esoteric and open to interpretation and less about witchcraft. As soon as you say the word witch, everybody goes to the pointy hats and the boots and the stockings and the lipstick and the cat and the incense and the tarot cards and the sage and the crystals. That's it. If you look on Etsy, or you look on just in general any kind of witchcraft products, that's all you're gonna find. Okay, it's kind of sad that it's gotten to be so commercial and so weird. So anyway, nobody's coming to my show in a costume. And if you are interested in my show and you want to come to my show, please get in touch. And I will give you information. It's going to be in Lower Manhattan in the East Village in this beautiful restaurant. And it's a lovely, lovely evening out. And it's a 9:30 show. And it's on October 26th, right near Samhain. Anyway, so Midsummer, back to Midsummer. So we have this beautiful growing holiday where you can explore the god form. And this is an important thing right now in Egyptian magic as well, which I'm now in the process of deeply studying. This is the time of the rise of the god Osiris. This is the time of the greening of the earth. This is the time of the male potent power. But why is that, you say? Why is the green man and the green and all of this have to do with male? Well, here's why. In magical thought, and also natural thought, the feminine is considered not female. That's a different term. But the feminine energy of life is considered to be taking in, to be inward, to be under, to be inside of. The male energy, masculine energy, not the male energy. Pardon me. The masculine energy is meant to show us the expansion, the creativity, the reaching out, the growth, the push. The hand reaching to the sun itself and its sacred power above us. The earth herself is below the sun and fertile and warm, and ready to be impregnated by the sun. Once she is, which we have just experienced at Beltane, once she is, then she grows. She grows the god. The god grows from her. And then he drops his seed later on in the year and makes more happen as we go on. So there we are. We're at the place where the goddess has accepted the god's energy. She is full of pregnancy or has just given birth to the child, the new god amongst us. And he will carry us through the rest of the year. If you think about it, it's really simple symbology to represent the fact that we planted seeds in the spring. They're starting to grow. They are starting to eventually let go of their own seed. They will be replanted in the fall, and we will have more food. And that's all this myth rises up out of natural need to eat and survive and fertility and children and continuation of our race, of human race on this planet. That's all it really is. When you come down to it, when people say, well, what do you do and why are you? I'm like, always look, it's a natural religion. I revere the gods and goddesses that represent my planet, where I live, my mother that I live upon, that I grew from, that I will die and become part of again, this body anyway. And the cycles of nature and the stars and the moon and the sun. And people go, okay. So if you're ever at a loss to explain to people, what are you doing? You just say, I revere the earth and her cycles. It's a nature religion. And people just sort of back off and go, oh. And the good thing about that, I think, for people who are in belief and still want to stay in Christian or Jewish or, you know, Islamic or Buddhist thought or any other religion that you have, I'm just naming a few, there's so many, but any other religious path that you have, you can add this path too. You don't have to be one or the other. That's a decision many people make, but you don't have to. So, all that said, I hope that this weekend, and if you're hearing this even a year from now, that you've got some information to help you along on this great holiday, and make sure you have a joyous time. Cook up some wonderful food, harvest some beautiful plants, bring flowers into your home. By the way, don't take anything from a plant or from nature without asking its permission, and then take what it tells you to and no more. Never take more than you need. Never take more than you need. Remember to leave food out for the bees. If you can, bring flowers outside, plant flowers, make bee water. There's a way to make bee water, which is very interesting. That information is on the internet as well. I just saw that the other day. Feed our brothers and sisters, the bees. Feed the insects. Help us all survive. Bring in plants in from outside. Bring the energy in from outside into your home. Use incense or use oils that represent the smell and time of this year. Please be careful in what you do take. Please be careful in your use of essential oils and herbs. Please understand what you're doing before you start to do magic. And please remember to thank the God and the Goddess for your life upon this planet. And I hope you will remember to have a wonderful day and come back to this fun podcast, as often as possible. Again, you need to find me. You can reach me at my email address, themagical, magicalapothecary, @gmail.com. And you can find me on Facebook and also Instagram. Forgot to mention before, you can find me under The Magic Apothecary. And also, I have a store on Etsy where I put up all my magical workings that are available for sale, which I make for people individually. I make spells for people individually. I don't sell crystals or bundles of sage or tarot cards. What I do sell is when people have a need, I show them how to use a somehow created by me object. For instance, if you have a love need, you're in a relationship and you want more spark or passion in your love life with your partner, I can create soaps and lotions and oils and incense and candles and spell kits and you name it, makeup, lipstick, hair gel, perfume for you, using formulas that are tried and true, that I have gotten from different really famous, very powerful witches, and also which I have created myself. Use them in all those different carriers, and I can show you how to empower them, and I can show you how to use them, and you will get results. My products always work. Okay, so if you're interested in that, you can also write to me and I can send you a catalog or send you to my Etsy store, or you can just find me online at themagicapothecary.com at my website. There's some information there about my Etsy store and about, you can take a look at my products and you can ask questions through the website. So I'm here for you. I hope that you've learned something today. I hope you have a wonderful, blessed, fantastic, solar, powerful, God-centered, green man growing midsummer. Enjoy yourself. Be safe out there. And may the God and the Goddess give you all you ever want. So mote it be, and many blessings.